Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Well, welcome back, Joan, after a long break.
It's been a while. Not all of my absence due to good events, the death in the family and so forth, but I have to tell you that coming back, resuming work, resuming some normalcy does help a great deal, and it's wonderful to be back. And I'm also back from a trip. We covered the Pope's trip to Austria, so it was three exciting, wonderful days, however filled with rain and cold and terrible wind. I got there on Thursday, and I was almost blown from the plane into the taxi.
But in spite of the weather, it was amazing the number of people who turned up.
Well, it really was, and I have to tell you,
especially for Mariazell.
That was astonishing, because here you are, 3,000 feet, you know, up in the mountains, and as a matter of fact, we saw snow. We didn't see snow going up to the shrine simply because it was too dark. We left at 4:30 in the morning from Vienna for the shrine, and the snow we did see coming back on the sides of the roads. The people who turned out were amazing. 33,000 tickets had been given out to the Mass at Mariazell. It's a very small shrine, a very small town. So Mass had to be in different areas, the right around where they had built the altar, outside of the church, of course, and then a huge field next to a big school, which had been turned into the media center. There probably were 20,000 people or so in that field. And the thing is, it was a sea of yellow, because the Austrian bishops, who planned everything so beautifully, the press center and the things that they gave out to the public, for example, ponchos. They had both yellow and clear color rain ponchos.
And it looked really good, didn't it?
It did. It really, really did. It looked like everybody was in a uniform, of course, but there were no covered areas the first day in Vienna for the journalists. And I mean, the photographers and video people, everybody got soaked to the skin simply because they confiscated the umbrellas. And so you're there. Anything that our listeners saw on television from the first day in Vienna, rest assured that all of those photographers and television people were standing in the pouring rain. But at Mariazell, there was a three-level platform erected, and we were undercover for that. So the first two levels were like photographers and TV, and then the top level was for editors.
And anybody in a wheelchair, with it being cold, was being given a blanket in addition to the raincoats.
Oh, they were. Everyone was really, really taken care of. And what was such fun, it was so amusing to me, was to see the priests they had blue vestments on, or blue chasubles. They had clear plastic over their vestments.
Yes,
so you could see the vestments, which were a very unusual color, a very bright blue for Saturday and a lime green for Sunday. In any event, the bishops were all covered and they had kept coverings for their mitres. But I mean, they sat on wooden benches with no cover over them. The only thing that was covered was the Pope's chair, kind of a reverse V-shaped covering over the altar and the Pope's chair. And they had the plastic on his chair and on the altar until absolutely the moment he arrived.
And talking of the bishops, not everybody who is listening will realize that in preparation for Mariazell, the Austrian bishops actually produced their own CD of themselves singing various Marian hymns.
You know, I have that CD.
It's
and
beautiful.
I have not heard it yet, because when I came home, I had a problem with my sound equipment in my studio. So I have not listened to it yet, and I just had it fixed yesterday.
I listened to part of it yesterday. I haven't managed to listen to the whole thing. But it's really nice. And they sing in parts as well.
I'll have to go home and play that today then.
It's lovely.
I'll tell you what I wish we could get is Haydn's Mass, the Sunday Mass, the music, the orchestra and choir and solos for the Sunday Mass at St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna was the most singularly beautiful Mass I have ever attended. The music for the Mass, it was just absolutely glorious. This was a Mass. Haydn wrote 12 Masses in his career as a composer, and this was Mass number 6, and it was called Missa Celensis, which is Latin for the Mass of Mariazell. And it was absolutely stunning, the orchestra. And the funny thing is, I was able to hear it because I was on the journalist platform outside the cathedral on Sunday, but there were huge screens all around the square and the streets adjacent to the cathedral. So tens of thousands of people could watch. The streets went out from the cathedral square like spokes in a wheel, and down some of those spokes were these huge screens. And so we were able to watch and hear the whole Mass, and I was able to receive communion because one of the priests, you could always tell where communion was being offered simply because there was an altar server behind a priest with at all of the papal Masses with a huge yellow umbrella. So if you wanted communion, you just looked for a huge yellow umbrella.
But I had to laugh during the Mass at Mariette Cell because it did show that not everything goes straightforwardly, even for the Pope, because as the Pope was approaching the altar, he had a big white umbrella over him, and he reached his place,
and it blew inside out.
It blew inside out, and they had whoever was trying to fold the umbrella had a terrible job trying to get hold of the edges to pull them back in.
Well, because the bigger the umbrella, the harder the problem's going to be, and it had a pretty good surface
It had a good wind, and it was a big umbrella, and it was quite funny.
It really, I think, it, I don't know if it was Monsignor Marini or somebody said they thought it might have been Cardinal Bertone trying to, reverse to put the umbrella back in its normal position. But the wind played havoc also on Sunday, I have to say, because the Pope came outside. He came out a side entrance after Mass, just walked out the side entrance of the cathedral, and then went up on this stage that had been prepared, of course, for the Angelus. And the back part of the stage was one of these many, many, many huge screens. Now, this was all in front of us, the media platform, so we were not that far from him at all. But as he came up on the stage and he held his hands up and, reacted to the crowd's wild greeting for him, and then he turned around and you could see he was saying something you were just guessing it was Monsignor Georg, his secretary, and it was. So the next thing you see is Monsignor Georg coming over with the Pope's red wool cape. And this was Sunday. Now, the rain had stopped about 10. We're talking like about noon now, 10 minutes to 12. And he was outside for the Angelus. And the wind was pretty hefty. The rest of the day went between threatening clouds, wind, blue patches, but it never did rain again after 10 in the morning. Anyway, so the Holy Father put his cape on, and the next thing you know, on the stage with him, of course, are Cardinal Schönbrunn, other cardinals and bishops, and his secretary. And the next thing you know, a huge gust of wind blows his zucchetto off, and you had to see Monsignor Georg. He would have qualified for an Olympic sport. His dash to get it as it rolled, the white zucchetto rolled across the stage, and he got it. And then everyone's very amused by this. They, of course, clap as Monsignor Georg retrieves the zucchetto. And the next thing, a gust of wind comes and takes the short part around the shoulders of the Pope's cape and blows it over his head. Of course, his hair and everyone else is standing straight up. The amazing thing is he's the only one that lost the zucchetto. Now, maybe the others actually had their hands on their head. I don't know. But at a certain point, the cape was just swirling around his head and his shoulders. And so Cardinal Schönbrunn just moved over to him, put his hand down on the cape, and held it from blowing. So the elements affected everybody. And I must say the Holy Father recognized this a couple times. He mentioned it yesterday, even at the general audience. He mentioned the fact that he was very happy and delighted to see so many people turn out, notwithstanding the rain and the wind at Mariette.
Well, the thing is as well that they are mountain people. And in Austria and amongst the mountains, it's a bit like living in England. You have so much rain that you know that if you take any notice of the rain, you're never going to get to do anything, so you've got to go ahead and do it anyway.
Well, and the wonderful thing is that so many people were present for an aspect, of course, we have not really touched on now, unless if our listeners have tuned in, obviously, to Vatican Radio or any local coverage that they may have gotten of it. They know that the Holy Father gave some really amazing, beautifully, beautifully crafted homilies and speeches. He spoke on Friday, the very day of his arrival, to the President of Austria and to the diplomatic corps. And I think they expected the Holy Father to talk about the international situation in the world and about where peace is lacking, et cetera, et cetera. But he had very important words to say about life. He talked about Europe being the home, being where human rights really were first formulated. And he said, the fundamental human right, the presupposition of every other right, is the right to life itself. So he said, abortion, consequently, cannot be a human right. It is the very opposite. He had many more words to say after that about life. He urged politicians not to allow children to be considered as a form of illness, something to be gotten rid of, therefore, in abortion. And he also spoke very strongly against actively assisted death, of course, that is euthanasia, and how we should take care of those who are terminally ill in their journey, accompany them on their journey towards mm-hmm. death, especially with the help of palliative care.
Now, there have been other things happening during the week as well.
There have been a few things, and the Holy Father, of course, held his general audience, during which he did speak of his trip and made a very, very beautiful summary of each event, each meeting in Austria, and noting, of course, that it was a pilgrimage more than it was a trip. And then we had the news of the underground Roman Catholic bishop dying in a Chinese prison. That came out this week with the Connecticut-based Cardinal Kung Foundation, that Bishop Han Jingcheng died in the Hebei province. He had been in prison for many, many years. Relatives were brought in at the last minute. He died at 11 at night. He was cremated at 5 in the morning, so just 6 hours after his death. So if you look at the man's life, he probably was, in the definition of the word, a martyr for the church.
So all in all, after the summer, the Holy Father is getting back into the normal swing of things.
He is. The tempo's picking up. He'll be back in Vatican City at the end of September, not long, about 2 weeks from as we speak. And he is beginning to receive the credentials of new ambassadors, the president of Sudan. Now, those do take place at Castel Gandolfo. He remains out there. These people are received at Castel Gandolfo. So the tempo is beginning to pick up, and it's wonderful the Holy Father can have a period of relative rest in a very quiet, beautiful setting, as the popes do every year. I'm sure at the end of it, he's going to say, like we all do, oh, where has the summer gone? It's just
Absolutely. Flown
by.
Mm. And so, until next week, God bless.
See you then.